that, and I think we've made a good showing in terms of the community and civic contributions of the Sonics to the community. And I started off with Mr. Hanemeyer, who's going to talk about the economic activity that's generated by having the Sonics in the community.
You brought up more emails today.
To the case.
One at a time.
Could you talk about why that's so important to the case, your next witness, and what he has to say?
Well, no one witness is that particularly more important than the other. I think part of what I think we want to get across is that there is a lot of activity that's generated by the Sonics that's beyond simply the economics of paying rent or paying B&O taxes or paying emissions taxes. They generate a lot of game day revenue with people buying merchandise, and that generates activity by going to restaurants, going to bars, staying overnight from hotels, all that type of activity, the jobs associated with the Sonics and the spending associated with those jobs, all that type of economic activity contributes to the Seattle community.
You brought up a lot of emails today, specifically some new ones that we had not seen before, including one that dated back to December of 06. When you went through that process, what do you think those emails show in your case?
Well, we're trying to make several points with Mr. Bennett, and only the judge will decide whether we've made those points. What we've talked about a lot in the court and talked about today some more, and also with Danny Barth, is that really just about everything that Mr. Bennett and Mr. Barth and the Sonics are complaining about are issues that were existing at the time they signed on to the lease. The lease says what it says. It provides for them playing their home games, and it also provides for the revenue sharing. It provides for certain control by the city as the owner of a building with respect to how the building looks. And those are all issues that were in the lease at the time that Mr. Bennett signed it. And they shouldn't be excuses to try to leave a year later. There are also questions to what Mr. Bennett was really trying to achieve over the past year in terms of his activity with the Washington State Legislature and what he is, what his goal was. And I think we presented evidence that at least demonstrated he had a very significant focus on meeting a good faith best effort commitment in order to show the NBA that he met their requirements as a prerequisite to filing for relocation.
But you're saying that these emails show that he was focused on making that good faith best effort. How does that? You're saying that it was only a charade or a
look. You've got it. You know, if he wants to find an arena here in Seattle, you have to ask yourself the question: what's the best way to do that? What type of plan is most likely to get the support of the legislature? And his own people were telling him, his own people as well as the legislative leaders were telling him, say, look, it's got to be a plan where there is a specific commitment from the team as to how much they're going to contribute. There's got to be a plan in which the team is going to cover cost overruns because you're the ones who were asking us to build this facility. Query, again, the timing, whether or not it's likely to pass the Washington State Legislature to put a $500 million tax proposal in play in March in a short legislative session. These are all questions that were raised by his actions, and as I said, the judge will look at that set of the emails and actions and come to her conclusions.
I had a question. If you if there is a ruling that a cash payment is an adequate buyout of the lease, will Judge Peckman determine the amount of that buyout during the 6 days of this trial, or will it be a subsequent date?
This was the effort that the Sonics tried to do when they tried to amend the complaint. She rejected that, so there would be a separate trial.